Father, we just want to say thank you for your amazing grace that you have bestowed upon each one of us here this morning. And Lord, we've been celebrating the goodness of God and your faithfulness that you have shown each one of us. And this morning, I just pray that you will just bless your word to our hearts. In the name of Jesus, we ask it. Amen. Right, as you know, we've been going through Philippians. Well, Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 to 14. We've been doing it since just after New Year. So I will be touching from Philippians 3, from verse 12 to 21. If you want to turn to that, if you have your Bibles. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Brethren, join in following my examples and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. For many walk of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly bodies, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Every church has a beginning. This church had a beginning. 1925, roughly, Pastor Every from Wales came. In a little shack in the middle of Margate, he started this church. And God has blessed it through the years. It's had different seasons, different flavors, but God has blessed it. And just as the church started in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was poured out and the apostles preached the word of God, that church started. Just when Philip, the evangelist, preached the word of God in Samaria, the church began there. Just as Paul, in his second missionary itinerant, he started the church in Corinth. He also started a church in Philippi, in the province of Macedonia. A lot of this I might recap, and it's good to recap. It's good to get a picture of what was happening in that time. Paul had a special... He just loved the church at Philippi. It was something special. And he looked after it, he protected it, he watched over it. The church supported Paul. They helped him. Probably one of the only churches that really supported Paul. The church sent Epaphroditus to the prison to help Paul. And equipped Paul, sent money to Paul. And so Paul had a tremendous love for the church. So you get a better picture. Paul had a vision. He saw a man from Macedonia calling Paul to come over here. Come over here. We need you. We need help. And Paul, being obedient to the word of God, went immediately with Silas and probably a few others, and they went over to Macedonia and went to Philippi. Philippi was a Roman colony, and because it was a Roman colony, it had special privileges. Because it had special privileges, it was quite a wealthy area of that, of Macedonia, really. It was made up of the Roman citizens, and it was made up of Greeks. There wasn't many true Jewish people there. So when Paul was called over, there was no synagogues there. And to start a synagogue, there had to be 10 or 11 more Jewish guys to start up a synagogue. So there was no church there. But Paul went down to the riverside, and who did he see down there? He saw some praying women. Praying that, they knew God, but they didn't know the way to salvation. And Paul and Silas and maybe a few others went down to pray, and they met the ladies there and they started talking to them. And you know the story. They spoke to Lydia and she got saved, and her whole household. Hiya. The amazing thing is, when Lydia said, come and stay at our house, we really welcome you. You know our heart in this. We want you to come and stay at our house. And Paul and a few others stayed at Lydia's house, a very wealthy home. She was a businesswoman. She sold purple linen. But the amazing thing about the story is that when Paul was evangelizing out in the street, he met this lady, this young lady who was, you know the story, demon-possessed. And after a few days, Paul got fed up with this lady sort of ridiculing him about Jesus. And he cast out the demon from this young lady, and because of it, he got thrown into prison. They both got thrown into prison. They started singing and praising God in the prison, and there was an earthquake, and all the gates were flung open, the chains fell off them, and the jailer thought that everybody had escaped, and he was going to kill himself, and Paul said, we are all here. And the jailer fell on his knees and said, Paul, what do I have to do? And that whole household of the jailer got saved. Now, I think that's an amazing story, because it was a rich family, one side, and yet a jailer down this side. And I thought, wow, isn't God amazing? Isn't God a great... gracious. He reaches the rich people, but he also reaches the lowly guy who's looking after prisoners. And that whole household was saved. And that's how the church in Philippi started. Now, if you know the background of Paul, we know that before he became a Christian, we know that he was quite a rogue. He was quite a lad. He thought he was serving God. in his own way. But I just want to read something to you. When you put all the pieces together, this is what Paul was really like, okay? It says, I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. I am a pure-blooded citizen of Israel and a member of the tribe of Benjamin. I am a real Hebrew. If there ever was one, I was a member of the Pharisees who demand the strictest obedience to the Jewish law. I was zealous that I harshly persecuted the church. He persecuted the Christians. And as for righteousness, I obeyed the law without fault. I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless. Listen. I, Paul, said I am a Jew born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, and I was brought up and educated here in Jerusalem under Gamaliel as his student. I was carefully trained in our Jewish laws and custom. I became very zealous to honor God in everything I did. Just like all of you today, I persecuted the followers of the way, Christians, hounded them, some to death, arrested both men and women and threw them in prison. The high priest and the whole council of elders can testify that this is so, for I received letters from them to our Jewish brothers in Damascus, authorizing me to bring the followers of the way from there to Jerusalem, in chains to be punished. Indeed, I did just that in Jerusalem, authorized by the leading priests. I caused many believers there to be sent to prison. I cast my vote against them. When they were condemned to death, many times I had them punished in the synagogues to get them to curse Jesus. I was so violently opposed to them that I even chased them down in foreign cities. Wow. Can you imagine Paul? And yet, Paul was going the wrong way. He was going in the wrong direction. I just want to show you a clip. I missed the first clip, so we're going to have to go to the second clip, and I might bring the first clip in later. I'll just explain what's happening here. This is Jim Marshall playing in a team in America, American football. He was called, he had a slogan, a nickname called Wrong Way Marshall. He's in the white and the other team is in the red. The whites should be going in that direction and the reds should be going this way. What happened was he was involved in a scrum and eventually he got the ball, but he was so confused, he started running the wrong way and scored for the other team. And that's why he was called, and he's known as Wrong Way Marshall. And I thought I'd just bring a bit of humour in the preaching of the word tonight, this morning. Do you know, sometimes we can be running the wrong way, even as Christians. We can be running the wrong way. Paul was running the wrong way. He thought he was doing the right thing. He thought he was serving God, and yet he was running the wrong way. And it took Jesus on the road to Damascus to say, Paul, Paul, you're running the wrong way, mate. You need to turn round. And he had an encounter with Jesus Christ. It took an encounter with Jesus Christ to turn Paul the right way. And you know, this morning, I don't know whether you are Christians or not, but you might be running the wrong way. And you might need to turn to Jesus Christ, to know him as your Lord and Savior, to know where you're going in life, to know that you've been forgiven from your sins, and you know that you're going to heaven when your life ends. As a Christian, you might be running the wrong way. That might fall in different areas of your life. God might have called you this way, but you've been running that way. And God just wants to say, okay, just stop, stand still. Listen to me, you're going the wrong way. Please follow me. Please follow me. I've got something that you can do which will really bless me and initially will bless you as well. So Paul was running the wrong way. And that's why it says in verse 12, forgetting those things that are behind. Forgetting those things behind. You know, some of those things that we've done in our lives can leave scars, real scars in our minds. And I wondered whether when it says that Paul was inflicted with a thorn in the flesh, sometimes I wondered whether it was the memories of what he did to Christians. Now, it doesn't say that. It doesn't tell us what it is. But when I was just studying, I just thought, and I read those passages in Acts, thinking, he didn't only give permission for Stephen to get stoned. He killed many people. He killed many Christians. He gave permission for people to be killed. And I wondered whether Satan buffeted Paul many times, saying, look, Paul, this is what you did. This is what you did. Can you call yourself a Christian? Can you do what you're doing? Can you really do it? But praise God, Paul says, no, that's not the truth, Satan. I can put that behind me. I can put that behind me and I can run the race. I haven't got there yet. I haven't got there yet, but I'm going to run with passion. I'm going to run with zeal and I'm going to run to the very end. This morning, is that your heart? Is that your heart this morning? Or have you gone cold? Are you lukewarm? Be passionate for Jesus. Run the race with all your heart. I haven't got to be careful how I say this. I've got less years ahead of me than I've had. So I haven't got long. But I need to run the race until the very end. So I can say, Jesus, I've done my best. I've done my best, Lord. And I can see Jesus looking in the eye and say, well done, you faithful servant. Do you want to be like that this morning? Run the race with all your heart. Run the race with all your heart. It says, yeah, I wanted to show you that other clip. Paul, I said, was so passionate in looking after his church in Philippi. He treated it, he didn't want anybody to come in. Eddie spoke, I think it was two weeks ago, and in the beginning of chapter 3, it talks about the dogs. Don't let the dogs come in and ravish the church, and don't be mutilation. come in. And he was talking about the Judaism people. They were coming in with a different gospel message. They were saying that you should be circumcised. You should keep the law of Moses. Otherwise, you're not going to heaven. You're not a Christian. And they were coming with a different message. And Paul was, he was cradling this church. He said, watch out for these people. Look out for them. Don't let them come into the church and confuse the people. So he was really looking after. And it reminded me of this video, which I want to show you. It's a, I think it's a Great Dane. And the guy's walking along the pavement. In the corner, you'll see a tiny little kitten. And here comes Mum. And I just thought, that's Paul. That's Apostle Paul. He wanted to look after the flock. He wanted to look after, you know, the people. He didn't want anything to come in and ravish the flock. That's why I love the book of Philippians. I love the book of Philippians because it's a caring book. It's a loving book. It's looking after the flock. It's full of joy. It's full of praise. It's full of encouragement. And if you remember when I preached the first message, I encourage you to keep on reading the book of Philippians because there's only four chapters. The first chapter, you know, it says what God has started to do, he's going to bring to completion in each one of us. Isn't that good to know? Isn't that good to know? You're not there yet, but he's going to bring it about. He's going to bring it to completion. Also in chapter one, it says, for to me to live is Christ again. In chapter 2, it says, Christ is the model of true humility. It said, let this mind be in you. Let the mind of Christ Jesus be in you. Be humble. Show humility. In chapter 3, it says, it's the one who changes our bodies, our lowly bodies. Some translation says our vile bodies. That's quite a word, isn't it? A vile body. But he's going to change it. He's going to transform it. Chapter 4 says, he is the source of Paul's power. It says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Me. Hallelujah. In verse 17, it says, brethren, join in following my examples and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. This morning, we need to look after people. We need to care for people. We need to disciple people on their journey. We see here that Paul is saying, be an imitator of me. Walk like I walk. Let me walk beside you. That's what he was doing all the time in this particular church. It also says, follow us. He was saying, follow Silas, who was with him. Follow Epaphroditus. That dreadful word. I knew I would. I say it right the first time and then I slip up afterwards. Follow Timothy. Follow the elders. They're the pattern of the way you should walk on your journey. And when we have new Christians, they're on a journey. They need to know the way. They need to know how to live their life. And I know there's a few of you here that disciple people. Rosemary's not here, but she's been discipling our Alpha new people. And it's so important because we're all on a journey and we want to get there with flying colours. Hallelujah. It also goes on to say, for Many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now I tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. Wow. He's coming up with this protection again over the church. The church at that time had Judaism, but they also had the Gnostics. They were the people that their spirit was okay, but they could do anything with their body, with their natural body. So it didn't matter. They could sin all they like because their spirit was okay. They're going to heaven. So Paul had to struggle with the Gnostics, and then he had to struggle with the pseudo-Christians, which you could say, and we've got all these things today. A pseudo-Christian is someone that waters down the word of God and changes it to just the way they want to think. And they argue in the church. We have them. They call themselves Christians, but they say things like, well, God is a God of love, and everything's okay because he's a God of love. And, you know, we don't need to worry about the word of God so much because he's a God of love. And that is a pseudo-Christian. And Paul said, beware these people because they will confuse you. They could damage the flock of God. We've got it today. We've got to be so careful that we need to take away our opinions. We all have opinions, but they're not necessarily right. Move the opinions aside and see what the Word of God says. That's the way we should do it. And then we can have a spiritual argument, maybe, because we have the Word of God in the middle. Hallelujah. It also says, for our citizenship is in heaven, for which we also eagerly wait for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly bodies that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Before I go on to that point, you can recognize people by the way they walk. You can recognize a soldier by the way he walks. You could tell someone's character by the way they walk, slump about. You could just tell. You can tell a cowboy, John Wayne. Okay. You know what I mean? You can tell a Christian and a Christian lifestyle style by the way he walks. And I just thought this next video is humorous, okay? It's just an allergy, all right? It's an allergy of just something I wanted to get over, the way we walk as a Christian, okay? So here it is. You've probably seen it before. How many have seen that before? We don't want to be silly Christians, do we? Hey, we want to walk uprightly. We want to walk the way a Christian should walk in our Christian journey until we get to the other side. I read the scripture that says we are citizens of heaven. This morning, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour, you need a passport. You need a passport to get into heaven. And the passport needs to be stamped by the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know if you ever read your passport. Have you ever read it? It says, Her Britannic Majesty Secretary State requests and requires in the name of Her Majesty all these who may concern to allow the bearer to pass freely without let or hindrance and to afford the bearer such assistance and protection as may be necessary. This passport remains the property of Her Majesty Government in the United Kingdom and may be withdrawn at any time. It should not be tampered with or passed to any unauthorized person. There you are. But we have a special passport. I don't know, when you go to an airport, you see non-citizen walk up this way and you see citizens walk this way. UK citizens walk this way. This morning, Paul was a citizen of heaven. He had to change dramatically. And Jesus Christ changed his life, completely turned around his life. He had to come to know Jesus. He had to get saved. He had to be washed by the precious blood of Jesus. The church at Philippi, Lydia and her family had to know Jesus Christ, had to know the way, had to have this special passport stamped by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And the jailer had to know Jesus Christ as his Lord and Saviour and his family. This morning, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour? Do you really know him, or do you just go to church? Or do you just follow a religion like Paul did, like Lydia? Do you know, we're really living in a sad world. Our nation is so sad. I was so sad when that girl committed suicide. You know, Caroline Flack. So sad, 40 years of age. Had everything in front of her, materially. Had everything she could possibly need. But as Shemaine said, she had a donut inside, an empty hole, which needed filling, and it needed filling with Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know where she is now, and that's why it's so sad. But we are citizens of heaven. And that's why we should, as Christians, forget the past. And if we do have scars, which Satan reminds us of, we can deal with it in the name of Jesus. And we can press on with all our heart, with all our passion, serving Jesus with all of our hearts. And we can walk uprightly in a good and not a silly way as a Christian and as a church. Because we are citizens of heaven. Let's pray, shall we? This is what Benjamin Franklin, if you don't know who he was the father, the founding father of USA, 1706 to 1790. He wrote his epitaph before he died, okay? And he changed it quite a few times before he died. And it was read out at his funeral. And there's a plaque. And it says, "The body of Benjamin Franklin, printer, like the cover of an old book, its contents torn out and stripped of its lettering and gilding, lies here, food for worms, but the work shall not be wholly lost, for it will, as he believed, appear once more in a new and more perfect edition, corrected and amended by the author." I really love that. I did really love that. This morning we're going to get a brand new body. I don't know when it's going to come, but it's going to be amazing. We might not like how tall we are. We might not like how short we are. We might not like how wide we are. And we might not like having no hair. And we might hate being ill all the time, full of aches and pains and wrinkles we hate. But I can tell you, categorically, that you're going to have a brand new body, an amazing body, and it's going to look incredibly beautiful. Are you looking forward to that? I am. Hallelujah. Because we are citizens of heaven. Father, I just want to say thank you this morning for our salvation. Thank you that we are saved and we are washed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you that we have a passport and we're going to heaven. And this morning, I just pray for anybody here that does not know Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior. I pray, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, that you will draw them and you will speak to them and you would minister into their lives. In the name of Jesus, we ask it. Amen.